Hey Toasties, welcome to another episode of Pyro Toasty Talks. This is season three, episode four. I think
Or
we're on
something like
episode
that.
four. It's episode four.
I don't know. That's your job to know.
It is. So
I just
today,
show up.
well, I'm glad that you did.
I just show up from the other
Always
side of the table. That's my job.
happy to have you.
That's a good thing.
And today we are going to be talking about building a brand without losing yourself. Who better to have to talk about building a brand than a guy who's wearing a hat with the brand, the logo of his brand on it? Clearly, a man who knows about building a brand. We have Chuck Teal from the Burning Woodchuck.
Hey there.
So, Chuck, you want to introduce yourself to people who may not know who you are?
Yeah, so again, I'm Chuck Teal. I'm the Burning Woodchuck. So I'm still fairly new at this game, but I love the branding. The logo has been really fun to come up with. That's got a funny story as well, but we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But yeah, so what I do, I am a pyrographer, right? I'm an artist first, pyrographer second. I've been working as a in drawing and painting for my whole life, and I got into pyrography when, my dog passed away in 2017. And then shortly after that, I was making hiking sticks, right? I wasn't really doing a lot of drawing. I was kind of stuck in in a rut, and so I was just making hiking sticks. And well, I spoke to my wife Sarah, and I was like, "What should I do on this hiking stick? I want to do something in memory of my dog, of our dog Norm." And she was like, "You know, why don't you try wood burning an image on the stick?" And I was like, "You know what? I never considered that." I was like, "Wood burning. Okay, let's try it." Right. So I had the stick in bed, just drawing on it with a pencil, getting the design on it. And it was a picture of a cardinal, because cardinals are, representative of lost ones, right? Lost loved ones and stuff like that. So then I went to Michael's and picked up my first wood burner, which is the VersaTool. That's usually the beginner wood burning tool, right? So I started playing with that, and I just fell in love. It was great. It was just, there's something, kind of magical about it. You can take just a simple stick and turning it into a work of art that can go with you for the rest of your life. You can walk with it and look at it and not just be on a wall. You can just enjoy being with the artwork that you make. So I fell in love with that. And after using the VersaTool for so long, I was like, I'm gonna look into this more. Started noticing, hey, there's other burn tools, right? There's the razor tip, there's the TrueArt, there's all of these different machines, and I'm like, I need to get these. I can't do the VersaTool because I felt like my wrist was breaking, honestly, just using the VersaTool. So I graduated to the other walnut hollow pen, and that was much better. And then a family member of mine was getting married, and I had the honor to do a wedding board for him. And that was really what kicked it off for me, because I was like, okay, the hiking stick was cool, I had fun with that, but this is like a serious thing. This is going to be in a wedding. This is going to be a big deal. So I took it seriously, and it was very fun. I loved the process. I remember watching, or actually not watching, I was listening to an audiobook of Jurassic Park 2, right? Or the second book of Jurassic Park.
The
And
Lost World, right?
yeah, that's right. Lost World. Yep, Lost World. And I just remember that whole experience of just reading that or listening to the book on audio and just doing that whole board every day for just the week. And it turned out nicely. They had a beautiful wedding, video and all. And the board was in the wedding. It was cool. I mean, you got to see it on the video and everything. So it's actually in their lives for the rest of their lives, and sitting in that at their home. And I was like, this means something more to me than just simply maybe even having it in a gallery or whatever, when it's with some people that are special and it means so much to them. So I was like, this is the direction I want to go.
And
Did I come up?
it's probably something that'll be passed down too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that means so much, when you can be a part of, giving that to someone else. It's an heirloom that they can carry on, for a very long time, passing it on to family, to family, to family. And just to be a part of that, it just means so much more than just slapping it on a wall in a gallery. I love it. I would love to be in a gallery, but honestly, I'd rather be in someone's home or someone walking, a stick with my picture on it or whatever. So,
Yeah, there's a certain permanence to it, right? It's,
absolutely.
you're creating something that is going to have it's not something that's going to get used and thrown away. It's not something that's
Right.
going to go, chucked into a bin and go to the Goodwill. It's something that
Right.
somebody's going to hold on to. It's something that's going to be a centerpiece of somebody's house, of somebody's
Yep.
home.
Something meaningful.
Yeah.
And it means so much. And I know almost, if not every pyrographer feels the same way. There's something magical about it. And I'm just here to stay. I love it. And it's so relieving to know that when you've been an artist for so long and you just couldn't land on something, you just couldn't land on something. And you're like, I don't even know if I'm meant to do this anymore, And then something like that organic origin happens. I'm just like, this is it. Now, I didn't know that the name was going to be the Burning Woodchuck, right?
So where
So,
did it come from? Like, where did that come from? I think you told us in the group, but remind me. Tell the world.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell the world about the Burning Woodchuck. So, it's a funny thing. So my previous job, I've worked as a sales manager for 7 years for this particular business, and I had a coworker. She was the funniest coworker I think I've ever worked with, right? We just joke all the time, and I would do these pieces, and we're just talking, and she's like, you should call yourself the Burning Woodchuck, because I get made fun of with my name Chuck for a long time. Not made fun of, but the tongue twister, how much wood can a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck a wood, that little American tongue twister. And she would play on that, and then she was like, "You should call yourself the Burning Woodchuck." I'm like, "Done, done, and done. I love it. It's fantastic." And she even came up with a really cool idea because I have a gap in my teeth. See, so I, you know the you know people listening can't see the gap, but I have a gap. So the gap
It's kind of a
also,
little, it's got a got like a David Letterman thing going on.
yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, the woodchuck has a gap, right, in their teeth. And I'm like, perfect. And I also used to be a skateboarder back in the day, right? So I used a skateboard, and there is a logo called Spitfire, right? It's a brand, Spitfire. So it was just a ball of fire, and I love that logo. It's so awesome. And I was like, how can I incorporate it with this woodchuck? And so with the woodchuck, I added the fire in the background, as Burning Woodchuck, naturally. And but it also looks like hair, right? So I'm not going to take my hat off because no one's going to be able to see my hair. My hair actually naturally does this when I'm waking up in the morning, or if I'm just stressed out, my hair just goes crazy and just does like this wild look. So it kind of looks like that. Yeah.
Now I can't unsee that. I don't know if you remember, there was a cartoon. It was like a clay animation cartoon from the 70s, and it was the heat miser. It
Yes.
was yes, and his it now that's all I could see.
It was so funny. Do you have a Sprouts where y'all live?
Sprouts? Is that like a kid's thing? Like a
No. It's a like a grocery store, like a
Oh
natural
no,
grocery.
that's not
Okay.
it.
It
Must be a
was
retailer.
funny. Years ago, I went into this grocery store, Sprouts, and the cashier actually said that same thing because I had my hair like that. And she's like, "You look like a heat miser." Oh, okay, all right. So,
At
a
least I
lot.
said your woodchuck looks like the heat miser. I didn't say you look like the heat
Well,
miser.
she said I look like a heat miser because my hair does a swoop. It's crazy. So, anyway. So now I'm just kind of leaning into my goofiness, right? So, I used to hate it. I used to hate being called Chuck. I used to hate, my gap in my tooth or my teeth and that my hair that just wouldn't cooperate. And now I'm like, you know what? This is who I am. This is who I am. So I created the logo and
Own
cartoons and comics and stuff have always been my deal. So that's where the cartoony look of it came about too.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I didn't picture you as a skateboarder, so I think that's really cool. I
Oh.
was never I was never really into the skate scene, but I could definitely see the influence in the logo from the from that kind of genre.
I don't have coordination for skateboards.
Have you ever burned into a skateboard?
Funny that you just asked me that because, and I know Zona has, right? You've done a skateboard.
Wasn't that supposed to be one of your that was going to be one of your mediums this month, wasn't it?
No, I wanted it to. I wanted it to, but I do have an interesting story about that just recently, right? And I don't want to take up the whole, segment with this story, but just recently, I like to honestly, when you're doing this, you have to network, right? You have to talk to people. You really have to get out there and really just socialize, right? So, and I'm a chatty Cathy. I really am. I'll go out there and talk to just about anybody. And I follow this guy. He just turned 40. I'm 47, but I'm like, welcome to the old man, group. The guy was a little overweight and he started skateboarding again to lose weight. And I was like, dude, you are a flipping inspiration, man. I want to do that. I want to get back to skateboarding to lose weight because, you get older, you put on some pounds and things. So I sent him a message. I was like, look, man, I'm just going to send you a skateboard deck. I'm just going to give it to you. What size deck do you use? And I'm going to send it to you, man, because you inspired me. You inspired a lot of people. The guy has some good followers. And he was like, thank you. No one has ever done this for me before. And this kind of segues into sometimes you have to do a little pro bono work
Yeah.
in order to connect with people. And this guy, I was really inspired, and I'm like, I'm gonna do it for you. You know, it's worth it.
We had Krista Webb on last episode. You probably haven't heard it yet because it will not have aired by the time we're recording it, but it'll have aired by the time this goes on.
Right.
But we talked to her about that same thing about doing the pro bono work. And she
Sweet.
actually had a great story about a and you'll hear it in the podcast where, she actually ended up doing like a big like she sent something to them as just a as an expression of appreciation for what they were doing because
That's
they
awesome.
inspired her. And it ended up being like a big boon for her. She ended up collaborating with them and their friends, and they, it's like has built a really great relationship. So, I mean,
That's awesome.
sometimes it actually ends up being favorable to you when you do that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a big believer in what you put out there comes back to you.
Absolutely.
And if you do something with kindness, with without expecting something in return, with true just kindness, kindness will come back to you in time, or maybe right away, who knows? But it'll come back to you. So I don't know.
Complete. I agree. I totally agree.
So just you never know. I mean, I've seen it come back to me. I've seen my good deeds come back to me, and it's just sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, and it is what it is. Sometimes
Absolutely.
I get bitten by the good deeds, and sometimes I don't, and it's like, that's all right. Karma will take care of you too. It is what it is. I don't
Yeah,
know.
and I'm prepared for it. I'm prepared for that because, it's genuine. It's genuine. I genuinely was inspired by the guy. As you get older, you just don't see that all the time, and it just put a big smile on my face. And I'm like, you gave me a lot just seeing that, and I'd rather you just have it. If you give me a shout out, sweet. If not, hey, enjoy the peace, you know.
We
I
had
love
a
that.
similar experience when Zona did the boards. The guy Vic, who we had invited us to the fundraiser for which she made the boards. Vic was also a guy. He was an older guy, and he had also recently got back into skateboarding. And him and his friends, God, I wish I remember what they called themselves. It was like the something geezers, but
What? That's
they
awesome.
all used to ride longboards because he had gotten to an age where he couldn't really ride a regular board anymore, but he was able to ride a longboard. And that's why he ended up doing that and started that fundraiser. And he moved to Jersey now, so he doesn't do that in Charlotte anymore. I don't know if he's doing it up in Jersey now.
He's actually he's still doing fundraiser things. He's helping out. The last I saw on his socials, he was helping out a different organization.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I can't
Yeah, for
imagine him
something
stopping.
else. Not the same kind of organization, but a different organization, up in New York, if I'm not mistaken, upstate New York.
So it seems like
Cool.
you're kind of a natural storyteller, Chuck. How does that play into your business and your branding?
Well, history's built on stories, right? I mean, a lot of storytelling is the way to connect to the people you're doing the work for, right? Everything I do has to have a story to it. I have to look at the piece. I have to look at the wood connected with the subject. I have to understand the subject further, such as like Ernest Hemingway, right? I had an Ernest Hemingway piece, and I was like, okay, so what was the type of typewriter Ernest Hemingway used? I looked up Ernest Hemingway's typewriter. I mimicked the font. I used the font lettering for the board and the quote, and I even made it look like it was actually typed from the book it came from, right? So things like that, that's telling a story. That's me digging deeper. I want to get inside the subject. I also want to see what the wood's telling me, if it's I want to make sure that the wood's going to come out and speak as well. I don't like covering up really nice looking wood. So I like to make sure I tell a story with what kind of wood I'm using and let them speak.
And I love the idea of piecing together a work of art by doing that pre-work, not just kind of winging it, like taking that time, understanding the subject matter, incorporating in things from the subject matter. And I think it's a great way of approaching and staying true to yourself. Do you ever feel like you have trouble kind of keeping a consistent style because you're incorporating in all these different things? Do you feel like you're able to create a cohesive style?
Well, do you feel like you have a style? Start with that.
Well, I kind of encountered this recently, right? So, because you look at your style all the time, you don't really think about it, right? You just do the work and let kind of other people see the style itself. But then I started kind of looking into it more, and it's like, yeah, I do have a little bit of a style with each piece that I do. I don't know if I can call it sketchy, right? So I tend to have a bit of a sketchiness to some of what I do. And it's an aesthetic I've always liked. I've always liked the construction aspect of art, of drawing. One of the things is that I really enjoy is abstract art, right? So abstract is super fun for me. I love looking at it. I love picking it apart and seeing pictures within pictures. And so sometimes when I'm doing the art, I will do maybe a slight skew in a different direction or go over a line because I just like that style. And even if I hit burn spots, I love it. I invite it, honestly. If I get a burn spot, I'm like, I'm going with that, right? So it's I watch a lot of Bob Ross, and of course when you hear Happy Accidents, that's everybody knows Happy Accidents with Bob Ross. I love Happy Accidents. So a lot of my style is not only just some of the sketches, but the Happy Accidents and wood burning or burning on other canvases. If you get that, it's gold. It's like it almost gives you that style in many ways that maybe paper doesn't necessarily do because it's so smooth and you don't hit the bumps or you don't run into the, obstacles with the canvases that you're using. But when you're doing wood, it's an adventure. You're like, what is this gonna do? And you just roll with it. And I think that kind of fits my personality too, right? Like we're talking about skateboarding earlier, right? Like you skateboard, you gotta learn how to roll when you fall, right? If you don't know how to roll when you fall, you can injure yourself more, right? So I like to use that same kind of perspective when I'm doing art. It's like, dude, if I'm going to screw up, I'm going to roll in it. I'm going to roll with it and I'm going to like come out of it uninjured. And that's kind of how I'm looking at my style. It's like, hey, I didn't mean for that to happen, but I'm going for it. I love it. And I think that's the kind of thing I want. And we're going back to the story telling, right? So this goes back to storytelling. I want to also tell a story that I'm free. I'm free. I'm having fun, and I'm enjoying what I do. And that's the thing that I kind of want people to see. It's hard to explain. I guess the magic or the spirit that comes out of certain pictures or artwork that you do, but there's something when you look at certain pieces of artwork that you just feel a connection. You can have two of the same picture, but one picture of that same picture can gravitate, you can gravitate towards that much easier than the other sometimes. So it's just that little stop. Anyway.
Know what I feel a
What's
connection to? The
that?
sophisticated octopus.
Yes,
Well,
yes.
okay, well, let's talk about the sophisticated octopus first. Hot second.
Okay.
Let's talk about the sophisticated octopus for the rest of this program.
First of all, he loves Cthulhu. So if there's an octopus, he's immediately
I love
attracted to the
sea creatures.
octopus. Okay.
Awesome.
And I
So
also
he
love
loves octopus.
animals that are wearing
Yes.
human clothes.
He likes creatures in hats and wearing clothing. There's
Okay.
something he just, there's something about that. And then he's carrying coffee.
Oh,
This man is
oh,
carrying
it's
the
tea.
coffee.
It's tea. It's got a little tea bag.
Oh, is that tea?
I'm okay with
Yes.
tea. It's
It
still
looks like a
caffeinated.
coffee cup.
And
It looks like a
he has a
coffee cup.
monocle.
Got a monocle. It's a wrap. This
It's
man.
amazing.
Oh, Lord.
It really is. It really is one of the
Send me that pattern because he may, this man might make me make that for him. You may
Okay,
have
all
to send
right.
me that pattern because,
It's my new favorite thing.
That is very cute though. That is very, very cute. I do like that.
Thank you. Thank you. I, honestly, that's all credit to my wife, Sarah. I love making stuff for, and that's what she wanted. She's like, I
That's so
want you
good.
to do the, because someone else did this drawing, and she was, I think, going through Pinterest and found something like that on Pinterest, and it was a drawing, and it had basically all of that. And I just freehanded basically that drawing onto the board. So I didn't have a pattern that I used, right? So I just freehanded it onto the board and burned onto it. So if I can find that drawing, maybe that can help. It's been a while, but yeah.
I don't care. I'm just going to enjoy looking at the digital rendition of it. It makes me happy.
Well, I tell you what, it was done a long time ago, so it's very faded right now because we do a lot of cooking. So Sarah has basically chopped it up pretty good. So it's faded. It's faded. Yeah, it's pretty faded.
It's time to do a Sophisticated Octopus Revisited.
Part
I
two.
agree. I
Yeah,
agree.
it's that
Yeah,
time. Part
it
two.
is. It is. Maybe another birthday gift, you know. I can revisit that, or just burn on top of it. Just kind of
Or
keep
some other
going.
sophisticated sea creature.
Okay. All right. I'm
The
about to do
sophisticated
that.
squid. Sophisticated manta ray.
Oh man, see, you can't do that because I have a pile of projects that I want to do, and it's just adding more. But I'm adding that mentally to it for sure.
Sophisticated dinner party.
Ooh.
Sophisticated sea dinner party.
This needs to happen, Chuck. I'm having
Okay.
a vision of a dinner party and they're all sitting around. Let's make it happen.
I hope your wife is listening to this
Yes, I do.
so that she is now going to hold you accountable for this.
Sarah, I hope you're listening. I like how he's turning around. For those, since no one can actually see this but us, Chuck literally turned around and looked over his shoulder to make sure Sarah didn't pop her head into the video.
No, she is out in the she's out in the di look, something about okay, so there's something you need to know about my wife. She hates anything cringy, right? And so I don't really get that embarrassed, but she does. She actually will watch a make-believe character on a show and something like off it, like The Office or whatever, like something super embarrassing, and she will just be like, no, I can't look at, like she freaked.
She
So
could never watch a Ben Stiller movie.
oh no, she doesn't. Yeah, it's pretty
I get
much.
that same way. Like you watch like Meet the Parents or something like that, and I just like die inside.
She it's bad for her. She gets yeah she's like uh-uh. She can't even look at the TV. I'm just like, this is great, you know. She's
Okay,
probably hearing me right now. It's like, stop talking about me.
we won't embarrass her any further. Do you like it does it, I do feel so I was just kind of like, but that's I came across the sophisticated octopus because I was looking through some of your work on Instagram, and there's
Thank you.
definitely a like you may not have a you may not feel you have a style, but there's definitely a style to what you do. It's kind of realistic. It's very crisp, yet
Crisp lines.
and
Oh.
it's I feel like it's focusing in on the wood burning, not like some people will do a lot of coloring or
Right.
accenting. It looks like your stuff is very it's very focused on the wood burning portion of it. Do you ever feel like you're kind of veering off into other directions because of trends, because of things that you see other people doing, because you see stuff that's selling well? Do you ever feel like you're kind of getting pulled in other directions?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to pay attention to trends. You got to see what other people are doing sometimes, just to kind of, have your finger on the pulse, but I'm always going to like what I like. right? So I'm always going to stick to that, right? If it's going to fit in an aesthetic that I enjoy, or but if it's like different techniques, things like that, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna do it. When it comes to social media, if I see something that I like that someone's doing, I'll do it. But I tend to not really go with the trend so much, right? Trends come and go. And they come and go very fast too. So by the time you catch up to the trend, that's already over with. That was like last week.
Especially with
So,
wood burning, right? Because it's such a
yeah.
time-consuming process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I guess what I've learned to do recently, because again, with the business aspect of this is still pretty new for me, right? So it's about a year into the business aspect of it. Before it was just, and I'm still doing commission work, right? The commissions are definitely the bread and butter on this one, right? But eventually I'd love to get where you guys are, where you're doing shows and things like that. But anyway, with the social media thing, I've realized that in between doing your projects, show a video of your dog, show a piece of food that you've ate the other day that really looked good. Or, it's a way to just kind of pull people into your world a little bit, give them a little appetizer before the meal, right? So if you're giving them some appetizers, make sure just to remind them, hey, I'm still here. By the time you pull something out, it's even better. But I have found out if you wait too long between those projects, you will see a bit of a drop, right? So sometimes it's a little bit of a bummer that it's like, okay, I need to videotape myself and eating some food or watching having my dog do his meerkatting. I don't know if you saw that video, but
Got
my dog Kevin, he's a nut, but yeah, he does this meerkatting and he'll do it for a long time. And it was just situational, just watching TV, and he's just sitting here like this, doing this meerkat. I was like, all right, I'll video that one and posted it. And believe it or not, I got more views on that than some of my better pieces. So,
you know what I found is that. And I've had conversations with people about this, not in the business world and outside of the business world, is that people will follow you not just because they want to know, see what you're making as an artist and as a business, but people will follow you because they like you as a person, right? But part of following you and knowing and liking you as a person is literally liking you as a person. But and part of liking you as a person is knowing you and liking you outside of what you do as a business, and like what your job is, right? So it's outside of just no like liking your art. So what are you more? You're more than just your art, right? So it's your animals. It's like it's the places that you go, it's the things that you do with your family, it's the places that you see. What are the things that are important to you? You know, and I do believe in separation of personal life and your and you know what
Business.
and business,
Sure.
which is, you know, why I don't post, you know, super personal things, right? Like I don't post my children. I don't post,
I think
you know, the big personal things. Like I don't post my family, right?
The one exception to posting the kids was when our oldest got his eagle,
Yeah, there's a there's
and he did a project for the Humane
yeah.
Society. And
Oh,
we posted that because it was something that we were just really proud of, and it
that's
was something that
awesome.
was giving back to the community.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
like, it's like that's an exception.
Selective. We're very selective about the very personal things. And even then
You
we're,
have to.
I mean, like, and especially when it comes to the kids. I mean, they're older now, but we're still very, you know, we're very cognitive about posting them in general, right? Like, because we've asked them, like, how do you feel about us even talking about you on social media? How do you feel about us talking about you on the podcast? How do you feel about us posting? You know, if you end up in a picture, how do you feel about that? Do you not want us to do that? Do you care? Like, and they're pretty much like, we don't really care, but we're still cognitive and we don't want to do that. Like, I think, again, it's that separation. For me personally, that's just how I feel, right? Because the business is the business, our personal life is our personal life. And we kind of
Absolutely.
mix the two on a lot of things. Like the animals are our personal life. That's not really our business, but we kind of mix it a little bit, right?
People love to see pictures of Frankie.
They love animals, and then like it
They
gets a gift.
specifically love pictures of Frankie.
I mean, she's
That's
our
awesome.
tiny cat.
Like,
She's our baby. It's
it is we get a well, Sona was working on a surfboard, and this
Oh
is
my
when
gosh.
this is when like it's I feel like it culminates is when she's working on a piece, but somehow the animals are involved with the piece that she's working on. So like
Oh,
she was
that's
working on a
perfect.
surfboard and Frankie was hanging out on the surfboard. So I
Oh,
took like a video of her on the surfboard. So it was like cat plus the art plus the business all together, you know, like throw it all in a pot, you know, and it's
we mix, yes, we do mix things, but those are the things that I found. Again, you know, it's about talking to people that they don't only want to see the personal things. They don't only want to see the things. They don't only want to see this. They don't only want to see that. Like they want to get to know you as a person, because I found that I've had people say, I want to support you because I like you as a person. My customers come in to the booth and they'll sit there and they'll say, come tell me about this piece. Right. And I'll sit there and I'll talk to them. And they'll say, well, what does this piece mean? Like, I had one customer and he blew my mind. And he was asking me about this piece. And it was a Filipino tribal tattoo work that I did. And I was telling him about it and what it meant, and telling him about the piece. And he was really fascinating, because he was like, well, if I buy this piece though, is it disrespectful of me not being Filipino to have this in my house? And I was telling him, no, it's not. This is the symbolism of it. And you're not buying it, disrespectfully. Whatever. And we were having this big conversation about it. And he was just like so fascinated. And he was like, I want to buy this and I love it and I'm very connected to it, but I want to buy it more so because I like you. And then
There you go.
because we were offering like a discount, which is something that we do that we found works really well at a lot of the markets
Markets.
that we do, is like we'll offer, especially if it's like a themed market, we'll do like a, oh, for for this market we offer a blank percentage discount. And he was just like, oh, we forgot to offer you this discount, whatever, whatever. And he was like, oh, well, what would that discount be for? It was like, oh, it's the discount that we're offering for the because of the market. He goes, but why?
He says I wouldn't take it anyway.
He's like, but why? And I was like, well,
I love that.
and he was just like, it would just, no. He was like, no, it just keep that. I don't
I
want the
love that.
discount. And it was just like really great. And it was the fact that he said, I want it more so because I like you as an artist. And it's stuff like that. And it's these conversations that I've had with people, even if they didn't buy anything, it was these conversations. I can't afford any of your work. I love your work, but I can't afford it. Your prices are accurate. I can't afford it right now, but I'm going to follow you because I like you.
That's awesome.
Do you know? And it's those conversations, which means I feel like we're going in the right direction. You know what I mean? Even if they're not purchasing today, I've gotten inquiries. at markets.
That's
I've got market
fantastic.
emails, you know, for commissions and whatnot. And it's that networking, it's those conversations. And then I get comments all the time, and I'm like, oh, that's so funny. And talking about the animals, and then talking about this or whatever's going on.
So we talked a lot about like authenticity, being
Yes.
authentic to your brand. How do you feel like you have been? I know that your business is still fairly new. Do you feel like you've been able to stay authentic to yourself and to your art?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the only direction I can go,
Liar.
right? Huh?
Liar. Not a liar.
Liar?
Liar, liar, confirmed liar. I already told him that he's like the annoying big brother on Discord. He reminds me of annoying big brother now.
I love it.
By
I
the way,
love having a
I
fun
don't
time
have
on.
any siblings, but just a little, quick little background. I know Chuck from Discord, from Woodburn Corner Discord, and we do bigger on Discord, and he does remind me of like the annoying big brother. If I had an annoying big brother, I think it would be Chuck.
Oh man. See, I have two brothers and I just, that's kind of like my love language, right? So I love just I guess picking, not picking on, but just having a good time, I know your personality and you're totally down to just, jokingly pick on each other and stuff like that. And that's fun for me. That's like me and my friends. If I all my friends, we just give each other a hard time, and it just makes it more fun and open. And I definitely enjoy that. And again, going back to the authenticity thing, I guess when you work in sales, and you same way with you, Zona, right? You've worked in sales for a long time in the retail business, and it's soul sucking, right? So,
Oh, yeah.
but,
Listen, there's a reason I
yeah.
went into business for myself.
Yep. Yep.
That is the
And
reason why I went into business for myself.
ditto, ditto, right? So when you have worked so long in sales, making money for other people, right? And having to put on a show for other people, which is fine, right? Because I learned a ton. I learned a ton from that. And after a while, last year when I quit my job and started working for a family business to be able to work from home, I was like, I am not going to take this for granted. This is an opportunity that I don't know if I'll ever have again. So when I quit that job, there's a song called Vienna by Billy Joel, right? I played that song when I quit because it's about basically living your life, right? So once I quit that job, I was like, every bit of information I took from sales, I'm going to put it towards myself because I know my product, I know what I can produce, and I've been able to sell basically anything at the store that I worked at for a long time, right? And I was like, I can sell really well. I'm going to do it towards me. I'm going to actually believe what I can do and make it work and show maybe some doubters out there, right? So, your own family, may have doubts and things like that. And they're like, I don't know. Hey, I want to prove them wrong and not just do this to prove them wrong, but mostly because I feel like I deserve to do it. For myself and for the artwork, because I didn't put this much energy into what I do just to see it just disappear. I want to put what I put all this energy into to give it the respect that it gave me for the many years that I've had it.
One of the things that I really liked, one of the conversations that we've had that's still ongoing on the Discord is the certificate of authenticity. And
Oh
I'm going to
yeah.
talk about this
Okay.
on the pod. And I think this is something that I think a lot of artists should think about. Is the certificate of authenticity? For a couple of different reasons. Like, there's the perception of value, right? There's the with like for a couple of different reasons, right? Like, you've got the AI thing, right? With AI being so prevalent right out there, with us artists creating things, creating original art and offering creative original art, that certificate of authenticity offers the perception of originality to a buyer, right? And saying the perception of originality makes it seem like it's not, but it is that perceived value, even subconsciously, right? Because it is coming from retail, right? Coming from that world, right? We know this. There is subconsciously, and people in marketing will know this. There's reasons why things are put in certain places on a shelf. There's reasons why certain colors are used. There's all of that. There's an actual reason for all of these things, right? That subconscious perception of a value of when you put up sale, the word sale, when you put up, when certain things are words are used, right? So that certificate also gives that perception of specialness, right? But more than that, like when you have something that's one of a kind, just that more.
Like it tucks you into bed at night.
I mean, it just cuddles you in and it just serves you bread and wine like in a golden goblet at night. Just like it's just more. It's,
If it does all that.
I mean, why not? Dang it. I mean, like it's just like when you spend a lot of money on something and you have a certificate on top of that, right? It's just that much more special, that much more. It just means that much more. Because if you were gonna, like, if you go anywhere, and let's just say you spent 15 grand on a piece of art, you know daggone well you're gonna say, "Where's my certificate of authenticity?"
There you go.
You're gonna expect that. I want it to be notarized. I want it to be, I want all the bells and whistles. And where's the certificate? Right? That's what you're when you if you were to go to the Louvre, because we're all gonna think that we're gonna buy a piece of art from the Louvre, right? If I go to the Louvre in my dreams, that's where I'm going. I want that certificate of authenticity. So why not, if I'm gonna sell a $5,000 piece of art,
Oh yeah, that thing better
why
have some bells and
should I
whistles.
not have a certificate of authenticity? I had a reason for bringing up the certificate. So I really liked the fact that you brought that up because I wanted people to think about creating the certificate, the COA, COA for their works of art. To think about creating it and offering it for their original works of art and why it's important. What I wanted to know is why it was important to you. I know you had mentioned in the discussion that you had had this conversation with Sarah about why it was important. And you said that her point was that you thought she is saying that, people won't care so much about it. But you said that it was important. And I wanted to know why you thought it was important and why it was important to you in terms of like branding.
So it is so important to me, honestly. I respect every piece of artwork that I do. Of course, I'm not going to do a COA for every single thing. You got to kind of be, selective with what you're doing with. But if again, if you're doing it for a $4,000 piece, you better have something like that going on. But it's really the psychology behind it, honestly. I mean, yes, they may just throw it away. They may be that person that just doesn't quite respect it as much as you. That's up to them. But for me, I'm going to give them the impression that I truly care about this piece and I put a lot of care and effort into the person, right? I respect them enough to double bubble wrap that thing, put a COA in there with a folder with a stamp of approval with my name on it to make sure that, a machine didn't make it or anything like that. It came from my hand. And I think the psychology behind that is way more impactful, consciously or subconsciously, right? I think, even if they did throw it away, let's just say they did that, right? They're like, hey, it's a piece of paper. I'm not going to carry that. I got more junk at home. I don't want to deal with it. Later on, things change and they could probably just remember, like, holy smokes, who knows? Your popularity could get so much bigger in the future, right? You could be doing so well and you're getting recognized and everything. And that guy's going to be like, or whoever is going to be like, I threw away that certificate of authenticity. I threw that away, and it's just like that could come back to them at some point if they do that. But that's on them. They want to throw it away, go for it. But for me, it means a lot more, and I'm willing to pay the money to print out the piece of paper, to do the whole format for the COA and stuff like that. And it's just a risk I'm willing to take, and your artwork should be worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about perceived value, right? When somebody's buying something, they want to know that what they're getting is what is the justification for the cost of this, right? Like this is an expensive piece of artwork that they're buying. What I could just go to, Joe's laser burning and get, a cutting board on a with the Star Wars logo on it for for $25. Why am I spending $200 to get this Bumblebee here? And it's like, well, okay, well let's talk about it, right? You're getting something that's a higher quality piece of wood. You're getting something that there was actual thought put into. You're getting something that was handmade. You're getting something that has a story behind it. You're getting something that is original, is one of a kind. And here's a little piece of paper that you can, like you said, tucks you in at night. It makes you feel good. It gives you
Absolutely.
a sense that what you're buying is bigger, is more than just a cutting board. It's more than just a something that you're gonna get and put in a cabinet and forget about for, for 4 years. It's something that you're gonna bring home and you're gonna put in a special place and you're gonna pull out for special occasions. And people are gonna come over and you're gonna be like, "Hey, wait till you see this thing I got." Right, because that's what sets artists apart, right? Is that people are going to come, your the piece that you make is going to be a topic of conversation for people. And let me tell you about this. I met this guy, Chuck, and he hand burns these things. And look at this, he did this freehand and drew this picture and then burnt it into wood. And let me tell you about the wood. He got this. This is a piece of driftwood that he got from from a local place. They dried it out. And you give them that information, they now that's now their story to tell. You talked before about storytelling and about
It's good.
like you're passing this. So when they're buying this piece, they're not just buying the piece. They're buying the piece, they're buying the story, they're buying you. And like you said earlier, when you were talking about that gentleman who came into the booth, I think it was at CIAF, and he was talking to you about your tribal pieces, and he was talking about you as
Okay.
an artist. He wasn't just buying piece of artwork. He was buying a piece of artwork by you.
Yeah.
And that is now something that he's going to put up on his wall, and he's going to show people, and he's going to be like, let me tell you about this artist who I met over at
Yeah.
CIAF last year who did this. And he's going to have, because he talked to you for a good hour and a half.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
he came back like twice.
Yeah. And he's going to now tell people that story. And now that is a part of his life. And I think that's, what building a brand is, right?
Yep.
Building a brand, it's not just coming up with a logo. It's not
Right.
just, setting up a website and a social media presence. It's not just about getting matching shirts that have your logo on it, and that's all
It's
an important part of
Yeah.
reinforcing your brand, right?
Right.
Like, because once you have your brand, you need to reinforce it, right? What
That's
is
right.
it? It takes 10 times for somebody to see something before it becomes, it a memory before they can
They
recall it. Yeah.
associate that with you.
Yeah, like I forget what it is. There's like a certain number of times before they remember you, and then a certain number of times before they trust you. Like there's a
It's a formula.
it's like a stair step. All of those things are important for that, but the most important thing is building that authenticity, becoming have built gaining the trust of your customers and being consistent in what you're doing.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
What Chuck, what would so I think actually you're very well positioned to answer this question because
Okay,
you're
cool.
fairly new to running your own business.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to people who are starting out? If they want to start kind of building their brand, what do you kind of wish that people told you, 18 months ago when you were getting ready to start your business?
Well, I guess to start off, my advice would just, do your research, really dig deep. Take the time, that you would spend watching TV, playing games or whatever, and do a lot of research. Look into professionals, join places like Burn Club. Burn Club was huge. I mean, when I quit my job, I was like, I need to find a place that will welcome me, And that was a place that welcomed me with open arms. It was fantastic. I mean, almost the day I came in, it was like, tell us who you are. Okay, here I am. And it just, so if you are looking to get into something like this, you're an artist, you're like, how do I do this? Da, 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 da. Find people that can actually guide you into that direction, and also learn to have, learn to take some criticism too. There's some things that, we're not, we haven't arrived. There's things that we do wrong almost all the time. I know I do for sure, and I'm welcoming more mistakes just so I can learn from them and get better at it. So joining groups like Burn Club, and there's so many others out there too. Those help you so much because these people have been doing it for so long. Y'all have been doing this for so long, and I'm gonna keep picking your brains about stuff, and I think that's the biggest advice, is to learn to take criticism, research, and network and talk to people. That's really important. And
So
know who you are.
for those of you who don't know, Burn Club and Burn Club Plus are the Discord channels that they're the Discord channels that are associated with Woodburn Corner. And if you want to join those Discord channels, go to woodburncorner.com. And I believe they've got links to the Burn Club, and then Burn Club Plus is their premium tier.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of other stuff. It's not just the
Yep.
Discord. It's like they've got templates, and they've got all tutorials and blog posts and all kinds of
Yes.
other
Oh, and
stuff.
it's building. It's building. It's like, because we're all like in this together. So we're like, hey, Basha, you should do this. Hey, Basha, do this, do this, do this. So things just keep popping up on the channels. We're doing, little emojis next to, I mean, there's so many really cool stuff that's
Yeah,
going
they do like
on, and
competitions and stuff. They do.
competitions are great. I love those.
So I just wanted to give people a little bit of context into that for those who may not be familiar. Okay, anything, Chuck, that you wanted to talk about with regards to branding that we didn't touch on?
Well, oh, go ahead, Zona. I'm sorry.
Just one other little quirky little thing that Mr. Chuck likes to do on the
Oh no, I'm afraid now. Oh no. All right, what's she gonna pull?
blog.
What's she gonna pull out? All right, let's see.
Mwah. No,
Okay.
because it has to do with branding, logo making.
Oh yeah. I love doing that.
Because we were talking about that in the channels, and you have really good feedback. You give really good feedback on this topic, and you actually did. You made your own logo. So just really wanted to touch on that a little bit. Logo making, like, what would you say is, let's say, your top three tips for if for someone who is like, oh Lord, I want to try my hand and make my own logo. How do I do this? What should I do?
Hire an illustrator.
Hire Chuck.
There you go.
Hiring Chuck is really the first and only answer, but
It goes back to the just topic, right? Branding. Knowing who you are, and the story that I gave about how my logo came about, right? It's like find pieces of who you are and fit those pieces into an image. Like fit those pieces into an image and let it just basically form itself. Also finding shapes and colors that are going to pull you in. Clean shapes work really well. Something too intricate may not. I mean, I can go on forever about that, but yeah, it's really just knowing who you are and taking those pieces and fitting it into one singular image that can tell that story.
So I'm going to tell you a little story. So I had started a business about 10 years ago. It's defunct now, but it was a web design business, and it was Resurgence Web Design. That was what I named it. Maybe one day I could do a whole podcast episode on one, but all the mistakes I made when I started my own business. I had noticed when I had named it, it was a very long name, and I had ended up shortening it to RWD, right? And I could never really come up with a good logo for it until one day I was looking at. Did you remember Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers game? Do you
Oh yes.
remember in the center of
I'm a
the,
gamer, so yeah.
yeah, do you remember in the center of the screen there was like a POW box?
Yes.
And I was looking at that, and I said, "Man, that looks very similar to, RWD." So
Yeah.
I took that and I kind of rearranged it, and I made the letters instead of saying POW, I said RWD, and then I kind of stylized it and I
Perfect.
made it less blocky. I kind of rounded off the edges, and I was
Yeah.
like, "That is it,"
That's perfect. See
because
that.
it spoke to me because I'm also a gamer. And but it also, like, I felt like it spoke to the clientele that I was trying to reach, but it also didn't feel like I was excluding anybody, because
Right.
somebody could just look at it and just be like, oh yeah, that just looks like a normal logo. But somebody else might look at it and be like, oh, that's so cool. That looks like
Yeah.
the little POW box from Mario. And
Yep.
it was like, that was kind of my experience with making my own logo. And I mean, I probably could have brought it to an illustrator and they probably would have done a much better job, but sometimes you're doing things on the cheap and you gotta just figure it out
Exactly.
as you go along.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. That's an awesome story. Yeah, 'cause I mean, it's like how I pulled my logo, you know. It's like I used a skate and there was another logo called Spitfire, and that just brought such good memories to me, and I just want to incorporate that with it. And I'm a big retro guy. I love retro. Like that's just and so I kind of incorporate some of those colors in it too, a little retro looking color to it. There's and I won't go too far into this, but there's a channel on Burn Club where it's just music that I listen to as I burn or work, and a lot of it's just retro waves, synth wave type music. It's just it's
We were talking about that
Well, we're well, so you said you're 47, so we're from the same generation. I was born in 78, so
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, December. Yeah.
So I know I feel exactly where you're coming from. But when I program, a lot of times I have to throw on just some beats to just listen to, because I just need something to kind of just drown out all the everything else that's going on in my head, and just give myself that focus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the saxophone and just the old 80s sound sometimes. So I'll just zone out to that stuff. So
All right, you'll have to give us your we can add in the show notes your top five picks for what to listen to while you're burning.
holy smokes. Oh
Oh,
man, 'cause
send
a
it to us
lot of
after. No, send it to us afterwards. We'll put it in the show
oh.
notes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Because a lot of it really is just, actually, yeah. I'll send them to you.
Yeah, because you have to narrow it down to top five.
Send up make or make a
Oof.
make a Spotify playlist, and we can share that with the audience.
There's this one band that I like a lot, and it probably be mostly all their songs.
He's like, oh no, top five.
I
All right.
know. Like, hold on a minute.
Was there anything that you wanted to talk about with regards to branding that we didn't touch on?
I think there were some things I kind of wanted to add to some of the things that Zona was talking about, how people want to see you, right? They want to know, they want the pieces because of you, right? So I wanted to kind of add to that. I'm a big fan of analogies and things like that, and I like to use the analogy of if you're a server, right? You have two servers serving the same dishes, same food, same stuff, right? And but both servers are not the same. One server is just super nice, whatever, all the right things. And one server may get more business than the other server. And sometimes it has nothing to do so much about the food, but a lot about your delivery and how you present yourself and connect to the people that you're serving. And as, because I used to be a server, this is why this analogy is coming out, right? Because again, you're serving the same dang food, right? But when I was a server, I was very attentive, right? If I couldn't get to the guy in time, I'd be like, hey, give me a few minutes. I'll be with you in just a moment, just to give him some recognition, you know? So that's something that I kind of tie into what I do. It's just keep people connected and know that you're caring. And when it comes to, people wanting you, I would have customers say, I want Chuck. I like him. I want to give him the business because he knows who I am. He knows what I like. He knows that I like sweet tea with no ice, or you name it. He remembers
Sweet
things.
tea without ice. What kind of travesty is that?
Oh, I know. I know. I That just came out of nowhere. So honestly, I've never seen it either. So,
Wow, so many.
but yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's knowing how to connect to people, being thoughtful, paying attention to even things that they've said to you, remembering conversations. Those are super important, and I would say even right there with the work that you do, because there's people who are so much better than I am, so much better than I am, and it's not always about that. It's about putting you in front and saying, hey, no, it's you'll like me, trust. I'm good, so anyway, that's about it though.
That's really that's actually I like that a lot because I think that's one of the things that gives people a like that feeling of imposter syndrome is, oh man, I'm not as good as this person. Why is anybody going to spend their money, their hard-earned money on my work when they can buy this stuff from this other person? And it's because what they're buying is not just a piece of wood, right? What they're
It's true.
buying is not, it's not just the art itself. It is what goes into that, right? A lot of people, and I think this is one of the things that we struggled with when we started to kind of shift less from the craft and more into the art is a lot of people who buy art, they want to know, like, what's the story behind this? What, like,
That's right.
what made you, what inspired you to do this? And, if you're just like, oh, well, I thought it was cute, so I did it, then they're gonna go walk over to the next person. They're gonna walk over to the next booth. But if you tell them, well, I had this, you started off this conversation with the story about your dog. And I mean, heart-wrenching story, like as animal lovers, it's always hard to hear stories about, people losing their pets. And sometimes only other pet owners could really understand that. And, but if you're going and doing a pet portrait for somebody and the story you're telling is about the, was it a cardinal?
Yes, it was a cardinal that I was,
The cardinal that you burned into a walking stick as a, to commemorate the, the life of your dog, that person now knows that whether this your skill level is up to par with somebody else, they know that the heart and the passion behind what it is that you're making for them matches their own. And that's meaningful to people. So I completely get what you're saying. As a customer, I understand that.
And where I came from, I worked as a manager for an all natural pet store, right? And that's something I was getting into for a long time. It was actually that was I was dreaming about having my own store. So I love pets. I love dogs, cats, all of them. I mean, I have seven chickens, three cats, and two dogs. If I had a bigger house, I'd probably have an ark. It's so I love animals. It's been a part of my passion for a long time. I remember in a conversation in Burn Club, I was talking. I was like, I don't want to be known as a pet portrait guy, jokingly. I was like, I don't want to be known as that guy, but I welcome it because when I look at someone's dog and I look at it, someone's cat or their pet, I know where that love's coming from. I'm about to get choked up now. All right. Anyway, but yeah, I know where that's coming from, and I want to put that same feeling I had for my dog Norm into that, and I want them to see that. So yeah. Sorry.
Feel that. I feel no, you're good, man. Listen, I know I was a dog person growing up. I had a black lab, Samantha. She was
Oh,
my dog.
Samantha.
Samantha, my black lab. She
I'm sorry,
replied.
I had a frozen moment for a minute.
Oh,
Samantha?
this is what way, way
I know, that's a long time ago.
before
Sorry.
then.
Okay.
But yeah, that was she was my dog growing up. And
Oh.
then when she passed away, we got Dale. Dale was a
Yeah.
Shepherd Chow mix, and Dale was my mom's dog.
Yeah.
And when Dale passed away, my mother was devastated.
Yeah.
This is probably, the hardest. I short of when my grandmother passed away, it was probably
Yeah.
the most difficult
Oh, it's
thing
so
that she ever
tough.
had to go through. And just a couple of years ago, Zona did a wood burning of Dale. She got a copy of my mom's favorite picture of him, and she did a piece, and it's hanging up in their living room. And I mean, there is nothing that I think she could have done that would be more meaningful to her than that. Apologies for that. My cat just knocked over all of the boxes on the table, probably because she heard us talking about dogs.
Oh man. Oh, those
Right, I
cats are
have
great.
something to say. All right, so before we break,
Okay.
I wanted Chuck to give you an opportunity to talk about anything that you have coming up, where
Okay.
people can find you, how they can connect with you, what things you've got going on,
Okay.
and just give people a little flavor of what's going on for you for this year. Hey folks, it's Brian, your executive producer here. We didn't have a chance for Chuck to promote his contributions to Write Love on Her Arms. Please listen to this quick promo and give if you can.
Hi there, this is Chuck from the Burning Woodchuck, and if you know me, you know I'm an unashamed fan of Dragon Ball. But it's more than just a show for me. During some of the hardest seasons of my life, Dragon Ball helped carry me through because at its core, it's about growth, resilience, and becoming better than you were yesterday. There's a concept called a Zenkai boost, where after surviving something that should have taken you out, you come back stronger, and that became personal. I faced real mental health battles by the grace of God and support of others, and I made it through. But I've also experienced loss. I lost my brother in 2020, and my youngest brother is still fighting his own battle. So on Goku Day, I'm auctioning a piece based on the cover of the very first Dragon Ball manga from 1984. The auction runs May 9th through the 16th, and I'm aiming to raise $9,000. But this is bigger than art. 100% of the proceeds are going to Write Love on Her Arms, supporting people battling depression, addiction, and suicide. This piece represents survival, loss, and hope, and the people still fighting every day. So, if this speaks to you, and if you can't give, sharing this helps more than you know. Lend me your energy.
Okay, so for this year, honestly, it's like an open book. I am just searching for more people, but how you can find me, I mostly hang out in first of all, Burn Club. So, you know, if any pyros out there want to start joining a club, come see me there and, you know, get to know my goofy butt. But I also love being on Instagram. That's one of my favorites. It's a really good space for artists as well. I share the crap out of every other artist and pyro. I love it. It's a great way for me just to get inspiration. So you can find me on Instagram and you know, definitely go to my website. I try to update it as much as I can. You know, it's definitely not up to par to BZ Furfur. You guys got it nailed. It's crazy.
I hear they've
But
got a good IT guy.
yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I'd recommend. but it's coming along. You know, my website's pretty simple. I don't have things to sell on it. I have a little gallery. You can kind of take a look in there and see what I can do. But at the moment, this year is portfolio building for me. So I'm looking to do different stuff. Working on gourds. I'm working on. I was mentioning the skateboard. I'm going to find some other people I can do some weird stuff with, and looking to do some portraiting too, some pet portraits out there. So there was a recent one that I did, a pretty fun video that I was able to put together.
Zelda?
Yeah, what's that?
Zelda?
Zelda. Yes. I had a fun time with that because again, it goes back to the retro, right? The owner of the dog Zelda wasn't sure if she was a gamer or knew Zelda. And so I asked her friend that wanted me to do that piece if like, hey, can I do Legend of Zelda like vibe to? And she's like, yeah, go for it. I'm sure she'll be cool with it. So I just went ahead and did it. I was like, yes, I'm going for it, you know. And that's it goes back to the story part, you know. I wanted to throw that story in. And but yeah, I'm up for doing more pet portraits too. I want to get better at it. I want to experiment with doing a different style of pet portraits as well, something to throw in maybe some abstract work. So stay tuned. I'm gonna put some pretty cool stuff out there. I'm looking to collaborate too. So if someone wants to collaborate, I'm down for that too. I'm working on collaborations with some people in the Burn Club as well. So
Hi.
yeah, so that's about it. So just visit the burn. Theburningwoodchuck.com. My Instagram, Burning Woodchuck. Look for that. I'm not much on Facebook. Facebook is not as friendly for some reason. I don't know why, but you can look me up on Facebook as well. YouTube, not much there right now, but that's going to come around.
Nice. So, you can find the podcast, Pyro Toasty Talks, on the web at www.pyrotoastytalks.com. You can also find Zona and myself at BZ Furfur. That's bzfurfur.com. You could find the podcast on social media at Pyrotoasty Talks, and you can find us at BZ underscore Furfur. You can find our friends David and Renee over at It's David and Renee. You can also find our friends at Burn Club, and you can find our friends over at Burn Club at Woodburn Corner, and you can join the Discord server there. Basha has been gracious enough to set up a section of the Burn Club Discord just for the podcast, so you can go and weigh in and offer suggestions for future topics. We're also always looking for guests. We found Chuck over in the Discord servers, and he's expressed interest in, yeah, he expressed interest in being on the podcast. Definitely looking to expand the podcast out to more and more folks. Also, our theme music is by Lucas Luhan, also another member of the Discord server. And I think that's about it. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Chuck, and stay toasty.
Stay toasty.